Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church. A big welcome to all of our guests and visitors today. If you have any questions about anything, feel free to ask anybody around you or one of the ushers. They have the kind of the green little flaps in their pockets. They can help direct you where to go if you have any questions. Today is the 11th Sunday after the Pentecost, so we are going to celebrate today and thank God for how he lovingly provides for us every day. So you'll see that reflected throughout the service today. Also in our service today, we will celebrate the Lord's Supper. So if you are a member of St. Mark's or of a church within our fellowship, we ask that you prepare yourself to receive the body and blood of the Lord and come forward at the proper time. If you are not a member of St. Mark's or of a church within our fellowship, we ask that you refrain from taking the Lord's Supper. And if you have any questions about that or want to partake of the Lord's Supper with us in the future, come see me after the service. I'd love to explain it to you. Well, today we will begin our worship with hymn 339. May God bless your worship this morning. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God our Father has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you reveal your mighty power, chiefly in showing mercy and kindness. Grant us the full measure of your grace, that we may obtain your promises and become partakers of your heavenly glory. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The first lesson this morning comes from Genesis chapter 41, verses 41 through 49. Joseph had a pretty difficult life after his brothers sold him into slavery to Egypt. And yet our mighty God shows his providence in the way that he uses Joseph and provides not just for the people of Egypt in the time of famine, but also later for his people as well. From Genesis chapter 41. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command, and men shouted before him, "Make way!" Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift a hand or foot in all Egypt." Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zaphnath-Paneah and gave him Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, to be his wife. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentifully. Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain, like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. The word of the Lord. We join together in the psalm of the day, Psalm 42:43. The second lesson comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. Here we see why God provides for us so abundantly in our lives. From Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord. We see that same love in the verse of the day from John 14:23. Alleluia. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Alleluia. Please stand in honor of the words and works of Jesus. The gospel lesson comes from Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. This will also serve as our sermon text for today, from Matthew 14. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," Jesus said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven. He gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The Gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith together in our loving God according to the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the 3rd day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for the hymn of the day, Praise to God, Immortal Praise. Thank you. mercy are yours, from God our Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for today comes from the gospel lesson, which you just heard read, so I won't reread it at this time. Let us begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your compassion. Amen. This morning, I'd like to start out with a little congregation participation, if that's okay. I want everyone here to raise your hand if you have a monthly bill that you have to pay. Maybe utilities, some sort, rent, mortgage, something like that. Okay, lots of hands. Put them down. Okay. Now I want you to raise your hand if you have some sort of weekly need that has to be filled. Maybe gas in your car or something along those lines. Okay. Okay, put your hands down. Now I want you to raise your hand if you have some sort of daily need that has to be filled, like food on the table, clothes on your back, maybe medications that you have to take. All right, everyone's hands should be raised that time, okay? Yeah, go ahead, put them down if you still have them up. You and I are blessed with new years, new months, new weeks, new days, and yet with all of those things come a lot of needs that have to be filled. Now, sometimes that can be really easy to take care of. Some months it just seems like it's easier, doesn't it? But then there are those other months and those other times when taking care of all of those needs that pile up just comes a little overwhelming. Sometimes it might even hit you all at once unexpectedly. Or maybe it is expected and you actually kind of live paycheck to paycheck. Maybe you have a lot of stress about your future and maybe kids' tuition now or in college. Or maybe you have retirement coming up. You have all of this stress of money and needs that have to be filled. You and I, when that happens, can sometimes look at all of those things and just think, Lord, just take them away. But what God reveals to us today is that they do not need to go away. What God is going to help to show us here is that we often forget something very, very important. So he's going to help remind us of that with the account of the feeding of the 5,000. Matthew's account of the feeding of the 5,000 begins like this. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. What did Jesus hear about? What happened? King Herod happened. This wasn't the King Herod that tried to kill Jesus when Jesus was a little boy. This was that Herod's son, Herod Antipas. That Herod just killed Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist. He heard about Jesus performing all of these miracles left and right, and so he thought, oh no, this is John the Baptist risen from the dead. So he wanted to see Jesus. When Jesus heard about this, he started to withdraw from the crowds. Not only did he have Herod wanting to see him, but he had the Pharisees wanting to kill him. He had more and more people wanting to see him perform miracles. And so he decides it's best to start withdrawing because his appointed time wasn't there yet. He still had 1 year from the time he was going to die on the cross. Not only that, but the disciples had just come back from their 2x2 preaching tour. So he wanted to give them some rest and relaxation. So he had lots of different reasons of why he would withdraw. So he does. He withdraws by boat privately to a solitary place. But the crowds, whether they are desperate for spiritual guidance, in need of his healing touch, or maybe they're just following the legend that Jesus had become, they decide to follow him on foot. See, the Lake of Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee, it wasn't all that large of a lake, so they could kind of see the direction he went, so they decided to follow him along the shore. And when Jesus comes to shore a little bit on the other side of the lake, he sees them all and goes, oh, they came to bother me on my day off. No, not at all. Matthew says, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Jesus had every reason to deny them, but he couldn't. He loved them too much. And from the other Gospels, we find out that Jesus actually spent hours healing the people and teaching them. But then it gets late, and they're far from home, in a solitary place. So Jesus' disciples come to him. This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. Seems like a reasonable thing, right? Seems a very noble thing of the disciples to think of. But actually what we see here in the language that's used, and Matthew is, remember, one of the disciples. From the language that's used, we can see that the disciples are being very negative at this point. This send the crowds away, this is a very strong thing. Send the crowds away. Maybe they just wanted that rest and relaxation that they thought they were going to get. And then the crowds ruined it. So, Lord, send them away to these small villages. See, they knew. They knew that the crowds wouldn't find enough food in a few small villages in a remote place. Later on, we find out there's 5,000 men, not even including women and children. Where are 5,000 plus people going to find enough food in a few small villages? They weren't. The disciples knew they wouldn't. They just wanted them to go away. But Jesus replies, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. Can you imagine what's going on in the disciples' minds here? They're looking out at 5,000 plus people. And Jesus doesn't say, go out and prepare a potluck with these 5,000 plus people. No, he says, they don't need to go away. You feed them. That's like dinner time rolling around at your house. And all of a sudden you get a knock on the door, you open it, you look outside, and there's 5,000 plus people going, got any food? And the disciples actually do bring Jesus, hey, we have these 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Lord, we may not be geniuses, but we're pretty sure that's not going to go very far. The other Gospels even say that they calculated how much it would be for each person to even get a bite, and it was more than 8 months' wages. Their math was correct. The human logic, it was obviously correct. It was impossible. If you were in the disciples' position, wouldn't you think the same thing? Do you think the same thing? You and I have all of these needs. And they seem like this great collection that we just can't get rid of. We pray, Lord, just help me out here. Just get rid of some of these. Help me take care of them. Or we look at what we have and we think, I have this much, I need more. Lord, can't you see this? But when we're doing that, are we really looking at what we have? Aren't we really instead at looking at what we don't have and think we need? For example, when you get that electricity bill in the mail, you open it up, what's the first thing you look at? The amount, right? How much do I have to pay? You don't look at the amount of electricity that you were blessed with. No, you look at that amount. How much do I have to pay? Why? Because you and I often focus on the wrong thing. There's something here that we're forgetting. We're forgetting about someone and how he feels about us. So we find ourselves in the same position as the disciples. The same way that we look out and have all of these obligations and needs and things that have to be met, the disciples looked out and saw this great collection of people, and they only could focus on what they lacked. They were about to see that it is Jesus who feeds our needs. And it is out of his compassion that he provides what we lack. They bring Jesus the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and say, Lord, this is all we've got. Jesus realizes that they're just not getting it. So he takes control of the situation. He starts handing out commands. First thing he says about the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish is, bring them here to me. Then he orders all of the people to sit down in groups of 50s and hundreds. He takes that meager little meal, looks up to heaven, thanks his loving Father, breaks the pieces, hands them to the disciples, and commands the disciples to give them to the people. Then he gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. This miracle is recorded in all 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And not one of them explains how this miracle happened. We know it was a miracle because after this, people wanted to make Jesus their bread king by force. But not one of the Gospels explains how it happened. Why? You think that'd be important? How it happened is not the important thing. The important thing is all ate and were satisfied. And this isn't just a satisfied, like, it's good enough, satisfied. No, the word that's used here for satisfied is the word that's used for cows when they gorge on grass. This was a full satisfied. This was a almost Thanksgiving evening, kick back, put your feet up on the couch, loosen the belt kind of satisfied. And even the disciples went out and gathered all of the broken pieces that were left, and Jesus commanded them not to waste any of it. And it filled 12 baskets. 12 baskets. You think it was a coincidence that Jesus provided just enough food to fill 12 baskets, one for each disciple? When just a little bit ago, 8 months' wages wouldn't provide a bite, they say. Put yourself in the disciples' sandals, holding those baskets, looking around at each other. Okay, Lord, we get it. And the lesson they learned that day was so important that it was only one of two miracles that the Holy Spirit recorded in those four Gospels. The other miracle, the resurrection. What was the lesson that they learned? What was so important that it had to be recorded in all four Gospels? Well, what did the disciples think as they were holding these baskets? They realized, He's God. He's got this. And so we too need to remember when all of these collections of needs and obligations come and the stress rises in our hearts that we should not focus our worried minds on what we are lacking. Instead, look at what we have. We have an all-powerful God, the King of creation and compassion. He provides the things that we need. He promises to do so. Jesus shows the same compassion for you that he showed those crowds that followed him on foot. Jesus takes the time to help guide you the same way that he took the time to help heal those people and teach them for all those hours. The Lord provides for your needs the same way he provided for those 5,000 plus people. How could he not? Let's go with an argument from greater to lesser here, okay? God looked in your life and he saw every need that you have, including the great needs that you had. You were spiritually dead. You were in need of a savior. You were headed toward hell. God had every reason to send us away, but he didn't. Instead, he provided what we needed, exactly what we needed, at exactly the right time. When the time had fully come, a year later, God sent his son. And on the cross, Jesus made sure that you and I would be forgiven children of God. Jesus says, you had a payment for sin looming? Paid in full. Jesus says, you need to be clothed? Here, take my righteousness. Spiritually dead? Here's spiritual life. Now you're spiritually hungry. Here, take my word. Fill up on that. And I'm not just talking about a good enough type of filling up. I'm talking about Thanksgiving dinner, put your feet up, loosen the belt type of filling up on my word. It's a pretty big book. Are you scared of death? Here, let me raise myself to life to prove to you so that you know for certain that all of your needs have been taken care of. You have a God that took care of all of those great needs that you had. Of course, he's going to take care of your daily needs too. He's got this. They're in good hands. So whether it's every year, every month, every week, every day, when that stress starts to rise, don't focus your worried minds on what you lack. Look at what you have. You have an all-powerful God whose compassion for you knows no bounds. Jesus fed 5,000 plus people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. I think your needs are going to be taken care of just fine. So whatever happens, remember, Jesus will feed your needs. Amen. Please stand. May the peace of God that he has given to you guard your hearts and minds through faith in his Son, Jesus. Amen. We join together to sing The Create in Me on page 11 in your bulletins. We now give to God as he has so graciously given to us. You may be seated. This morning in our special intercessions, we thank the Lord for his care of Rick Covey, David Haugen, Bev Heinitz, Avis Anderson, Clara Jackson, Stan Kuhlman, Pam Drennan, Frank Boshaw, and Leroy Deedy, who are both undergoing surgeries this week. We also thank the Lord for those celebrating birthdays this week and those celebrating anniversaries, including Ken and Kathy Taylor, who are celebrating 51 years of marriage. We pray the prayer of the church on page 12. Lord of heaven and earth, you made all things beautiful. You have provided green forests and refreshing streams. You have arranged the orderly procession of day and night for our work and rest.
Thank you for the mountains and prairies, the roaring sea and the gentle breeze.
Thank you for roofs that shelter us, for clothing that protects us, and for food and drink. Thank you for our work, for projects that are well done well, and for the approval of supervisors and teachers. Thank you for all who serve at night to make our days more pleasant.
Thank you for our associates at work, for their encouragement and praise, and for the joys of human friendships.
Thank you for our cities and our countrysides, for farms and factories, for streets and highways, and for all of life that flows so swiftly before us.
Thank you for children at play, their boundless energy, and their shouts of joy and laughter.
Thank you for morning greetings we receive, and for all the smiles that come from faces loved by you.
Thank you for Christian parents, for their affection and their care.
All-powerful and all-loving Father, we thank you for comforting those who are sick and recovering and keeping them from being discouraged. If it is your will, fully heal them and take away any suffering they may be going through. If it is not your will, strengthen their faith so that they may see your loving hand even in the midst of their discomfort. Giver of all good things, we thank you for blessing all married people. Give them a strong faith in you, a rich love for each other, and a dedication to forgive as you have forgiven us. Maker and preserver, we thank you for blessing all those who are celebrating birthdays. As they remember their birth into this world, remind them also of their rebirth and renewal through water and the Spirit. Help them treasure their faith in Jesus as the greatest birthday present they've ever received. Now hear us, Lord, as we give thanks for personal blessings. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for his coming to us in word and sacraments, for his giving and forgiving, and for listening to our prayers. Receive our gifts and offerings as our sacrifice of praise.
Lead us in thankful living today and always.
Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right so to do.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in his name, there he is with them to shepherd his flock till he comes again in glory. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
life everlasting. Go in peace. Sins are forgiven. Please stand. We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this Holy Supper. We pray that through it you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn, For the Fruit of His Creation.
morning. It was good to be in God's house with you this morning as we had the opportunity to worship our compassionate Savior. We extend a warm welcome to all of you who are guests or visitors and encourage you to worship with us again soon. This morning we've got opportunities for children, teens, and adults to continue growing in God's Word with our Sunday school and Bible class hour following the service this morning, so we encourage you to stick around for that. The Sunday school praise song opening in the chapel at 9:15 is a wonderful way to let your voices sing some fun praise songs to Jesus, not just for the children. Everybody's invited over to the chapel for that. I have a few highlights to share with you this morning. A lot of these are upcoming events that we're just going to kind of keep repeating so that hopefully they stick, and we invite you your participation in all of these. September 10th, Pastor Colander will be joining us. That's only 3 weeks away. So on Sunday afternoon, we'll have an installation service followed by a potluck. There's a sign-up form in the back to indicate what you'd like to bring to that potluck. Saturday, September 16th, our mighty warriors will be hitting the pavement in the neighborhood back over here, inviting people of our neighborhood to learn more about St. Mark's, specifically to the picnic coming up at the end of September, where we're going to welcome our new pastors. Mighty warriors are not mighty in and of themselves. They're mighty because God is with them. So even if you're a little bit, you know, filled with fear about knocking on people's doors and sharing your Savior, you don't need to be, because you have Jesus with you. We encourage you to come, be mighty warriors, and invite those people in the neighborhood. We've got that Meet the New Pastors church picnic coming up on the 29th of September. That's going to be at Fair Oaks Park, so continue to plan for that. Pastor Growth is going to be starting a new Bible information class on September 24th, Sunday evenings at 5 o'clock, a great opportunity for new people to learn more and become members of St. Mark's, a great opportunity for seasoned veterans to get a refresher on the fundamental teachings of the Bible. There's a sign-up form for Bible information class in the back. It looks like it's going to be well attended, a great opportunity to grow with your fellow believers at St. Mark's. In the flyers, information on the Luther movie coming up on October 9th, a great opportunity to celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation and learn more about the hero of faith who was Martin Luther, so consider purchasing tickets online. At the end of October, we're going to have a special Reformation service with our brothers and sisters in Christ in Northern California here at St. Mark's. More information coming on that, but please plan to attend that special service on Sunday, October 29th. The rest of the announcements in the update, you can take a look at those at your leisure. I also have a few announcements to share specifically related to our school. So we're going to be beginning our school's 48th year of serving families with excellence in Christian education this evening with Back to School Night. You can see on the screens, we recently developed a new school logo. There's a lot of significance in how that came together. I'll share that with you another time, but we think it's pretty catchy. And then the second logo up there is the theme of this school year, Built on the Rock. So an important part of our mission at St. Mark's is growing in God's Word. Every day our students have the opportunity to be growing on in God's Word, building the foundation of their lives and their faith on our rock, Jesus Christ. In general, I would just like to continue to invite you to be a part of school life at St. Mark's, because this is all of our school. It's not just the families who have children in school. It's everybody. This evening, we have Back to School Night. At 4 o'clock, we'll have an opening chapel service right here in church. That's going to be a nice little half-hour opening chapel service. Following that, we're going to have a great barbecue dinner in the gym. So if you want to come for a little bit more feeding of your faith and a great meal, come this evening to Back to School Night. Every Wednesday morning, we have our chapel service at 8:30. So this coming Wednesday, first chapel service of the school year, a great midweek pick-me-up for your faith. So if you have availability in your schedule to come to chapel on Wednesday mornings at 8:30, we would love for you to join us. And then lastly, you know, in the flyer, I'm constantly putting upcoming school events in there, sports contests, drama productions, talent nights, all of that fun stuff. So please take a look at that and feel like you can be a part of it, because again, it's our school, it's for everybody. Last thing this morning, as you are dismissed, before you head to Bible class, you might want to take a little walk around our campus. Everything's ready to go. Classrooms are in good order. Take a picture, mental note what they look like today, because tomorrow the fun starts and they won't look that good again until the start of next school year. But anyway, please take a walk around the campus again. Your school, see what it looks like ready for another school year. Thank you for your time this morning. On your way out, please greet one another. Pastor will greet you in back. Thank you.